happened to paying your own way? Whatever happened to that? Okay, now I got to tell you, I never borrowed a nickel from anybody. I paid my college as I went. Okay, I painted houses. And that was hard work. And I made a lot of money painting houses because I worked like an animal. I didn't borrow any money. I never had student debt. I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked. Okay, I had the amount of jobs, I drove a cab, I was a water safety instructor, I worked at Carvel. I mean, from 10 years old on, I was working. And my father drummed it into my head, save as much money as you can, which I did. Okay, so I was able to get through. But the only person in my entire life who ever gave me any money was my elderly grandmother. And I didn't even want it. But she gave it to me and she wasn't going to spend it. So I said, okay, I took a few bucks from my grandma. That was it. And I am proud of myself because I made it on my own. No help. So now I see these people walking around, not all of them. Some people need help. And I'm more than happy to give them help, as you know, in my charitable foundation. I give away millions of dollars. There was an item yesterday in the Cindy Adams column in the New York Post where Sean Hannity, Geraldo Rivera, and Bill O'Reilly given $50,000 each to Geraldo's charity for autism. Okay? I'm happy to do that. These autistic kids, they need help. And as much of the help I can give, I'm going to give. You know the veterans. You know Independence Fund. You know Brothers Keeper. You know all that. Okay? I'm pleased to do it because I know people need help. And I want the government to have safety nets. I do. So if you're elderly and you're ill and you don't have a lot of assets, government should help you. If you're a child and you have bad parents and you don't have a book in the house and you're getting cuffed around, you're being abused, government should help. Absolutely. But if you can work and you're going, give me money? No. You're a heroin addict? No. You're an alcoholic? No. You don't get it. Sorry. You're not entitled to it. I'm not giving it to you. And these people taking my money in Washington, D.C., doling it out to those people, that's a crime, in my opinion. That's a sin. They don't deserve it. These beggars all over New York City, they come up to me, I go, hey, you know how many jobs there are open? Look at the signs. Help wanted, help wanted. What's the matter with you? You know, these are males 30, 35, and they just shuffle away. I'm lucky I don't get knifed. I'm not giving them any money. Oh, I'm hungry. All right, fine. Go wash some dishes. They'll give you a free meal. Nothing wrong with that. Now, there is a percentage of our population who think they're entitled to money and free health care and free daycare and free this and free that because they don't have a lot. All right, I'm sorry you don't have a lot. I wish you did. But there are ways to get a lot, or at least get enough to get by. You got to develop a skill and work hard and obey the law. That's what you have to do. You're unwilling to do it? Don't ask for my money. That's what this Democratic Party stands for, and that's the only thing it stands for. Give, 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 so they vote for us. And that's what Biden is doing. He's got no plan. He can't solve any problem. He's making this country worse. Everyone's suffering because he's president. Do we get this? Do we get it? He's incompetent. Okay. So now, with all of this giveaway stuff, there is no work requirement attached to any of it. So you get it, but you don't have to give anything back. You don't have to look for a job. You don't have to get training. You don't have to go to school. You just get it. New York Times is the one that champions this. Throw that op-ed on the screen. This is from a woman named Bryce Covert, a far, far left person. She writes for The Nation. This is what she says. The not-so-subtle racism of Trump-era welfare reform. That's the op-ed title, okay? Ignore the platitudes. Work requirements have never been about helping the poor or unemployed. They've always been about punishing black people. It's cruel to demand that people work to receive help they need. Everyone of all races should remain exempt from work requirements. This is their philosophy. You people, for whatever reason, who don't want to work, you don't have to. We're going to give you stuff. I mean, look, how can you be a far left person with that philosophy? How? Jeez, it's just, and when I raise with my liberal friends, they have no answer. No answer. And I know real smart liberals. They can't answer. Well, it's the sick people. I know, we covered that. Sick people, you have to help. Okay. So you may remember Bill Clinton back in 1966 passed, all right, a welfare to work bill. It was a charade, but Clinton got behind it because back time in 96, Americans had risen up and they said, look, enough of this. I wish that would happen again. That's why I'm doing this segment. But anyway, the bill passed and it required recipients getting government money to begin working after 2 years of receiving benefits. You got a 2-year freebie, but then you got cut off if you weren't looking for a job. You had to prove it. Okay, so that's what happened back then. Let's go to Chicago. Totally out of control, violent city. Everybody knows it. There's no doubt about it. No two sides of the story. Now, Chicago is poised to create the nation's largest guaranteed basic income program. Basic income? This isn't an income. This is a giveaway. So the Chicago City Council will vote tomorrow on whether or not, and this will pass, to give $5,000 to low-income households every year. Okay? Now, they're chosen at random. They can't do it for everybody. Random, yeah, okay. So there'll be 5,000 households getting $500 per month. I'm sorry, $500 per month. And this is a giveaway. So you don't have to do anything for the city of Chicago. You don't have to rake some leaves or clean up or do anything. You just get it. I guess they're going to put their name in the hat and pull it out. I don't know how they're going to do it. Okay, but this is what socialism is, what they want. Now, where is that money coming from? It's coming from Biden administration. It's coming from the American Rescue Plan after COVID. So Chicago got a huge infusion of money, just like most major cities, and haven't spent it. Because what are you going to spend it on? All right? They won't hire more cops. Crazy. So it's my money and your money going to Chicago to give to people who aren't required to do anything. Awful. All right. Now, how does all of this stuff get passed? I mean, it gets passed because there are, in this country, millions and millions of people who either want the free stuff or support the free stuff because they're morons. Okay? And that starts in college. I guess it starts in high school now. So Middlebury College in Vermont is an excellent academic school. It was started in 1800. I actually took my son there to look at it. And we were there for about 20 minutes and we saw how crazy it was. Crazy left. And we said, it's nice, but no. Okay, so now the director of counseling at Middlebury College is a guy who hates white people. His name is Dr. Alberto Soto. Now, I don't know him. I'm only saying that he hates white people because of what he said. I'm going to quote him now. So maybe he doesn't hate white people. Maybe I'm being unfair to Dr. Soto, but explain this. Put it on up. Quote, at some point, says Dr. Soto, we must address and identify the source of all our psychic suffering, which is whiteness. Heteronormativity, patriarchal systems, etc. So the source of all suffering, whiteness, and heterosexual people. Okay. That's the guy in charge of counseling at Middlebury College, Rutgers University, State University at New Jersey, okay? So they have a woman teaching there, an associate professor in the Department of Women's, Gender, and Sexuality Studies. Okay, her name is Brittany Cooper. All right, so what does Brittany say? Quote, throw it on up. I think that white people are committed to being villains in the aggregate. White people's birth rates are going down because they literally cannot afford to put their children, newer generations, into the middle class. It's super perverse, and also, they kind of deserve it. Now, that is so insane, I can't even begin. But you guys who live in New Jersey, you're paying taxes, state taxes. That goes to Rutgers to pay Brittany Cooper's salary. And that's why the country is a mess, because more colleges are crazy than are not college, than are not crazy. I met with Donald Trump. I've known him for 30 years. I think my interviews with him are the best ever. You can Google all of them if you'd like, but I think tonight will demonstrate that. So we begin with Joe Biden. Roll it. You know, President Biden must really love you. He's doing you such a huge favor by being in so much trouble. And the country's collapsing. And then the polls show that people are almost having voter regret. Did you ever hear that phrase? Voter regret.
Well, I think they might have regret, but I think they voted for me at a level that nobody's ever received before as a sitting president. 75 million votes and 12 million more than we got last time. So I'm not sure they have regret. I think we got
They regret voting for Biden.
No, I understand what you're saying, Bill, but I'm just saying we got a tremendous vote. And the administration of Joe Biden has been a disaster.
You don't think he's doing it on purpose to help you out?
Oh, sure. I'm sure he's doing it on purpose now.
Okay.
I think they can't help themselves.
So let's look ahead. That's what everybody wants to know now. If you decide to run for president again, you'll be in Grover, Cleveland territory. You know that.
I do.
The only president who is elected to non-consecutive terms. So a lot of people are asking me, and I got tons of mail on this, will President Trump change his style a bit if he runs again to be less confrontational to try to win over independent voters? Will you do that?
Well, let me just tell you before I give you that answer, I had no choice but to be aggressive and confrontational because I was hit with many phony deals from Russia, impeachment, you know, hoax number one, impeachment hoax number two, so many, Ukraine. We were hit with so many different things, the Mueller investigation, which turned out to be no collusion, that you had to be confrontational and you had to move fast. And on top of that, I ran a country and we rebuilt the military and we did the biggest tax cuts and regulation cuts and all of the things we did. So I'd like to have a little bit more peaceful presidency from the standpoint that the radical left went after me like they've never gone after a president.
Okay, but you know that when you were in the primary up against your Republicans who wanted to be president, it was Lion Ted, it was Sweaty Marco, it was Boring Jeb. I mean, you really went in and battered these guys. Would you do it again if you're primaried? Would you do it that way?
I think it depends on who I'm running against. I mean, I have no idea who it would be.
It was Paul Ryan.
Well, that would be.
You're going to go after him. You're going to.
No, if it was Paul Ryan, I'd attack him very hard. I think he's terrible.
Have you thought?
Terrible person for the Republican Party and for the country. But no, it depends on who I'd be running against.
So, have you thought about? You're the 45th president with a pretty good record in office.
I think a very good record.
Okay,
in
but
office,
even your detractors, the people who despise you.
Yeah.
All right. They can't criticize a record-breaking economy, can they? Yeah,
the best we've ever had.
Okay. So does it occur to you that maybe I run on my record rather than I run on Donald Trump settling scores?
Well, I think I wouldn't be doing anything to settle scores. I just want to have our country back. Our country is lost right now. We suffered, in my opinion, the greatest embarrassment in the history of our country with Afghanistan. That withdrawal was shocking. It was a surrender. It wasn't even a withdrawal. That was a total surrender without a bullet being fired. And you look at 13 dead warriors. And by the way, many wounded, nobody, and I'm talking about seriously wounded, legs and arms, And you look at $85 billion worth of equipment left behind. There's no reason. Why would you leave it behind?
All right, let's get into that. So Biden blamed you and said you made a bad deal with the Taliban and that he inherited it and there's nothing he could do. I don't think many people buy that.
Nobody believes it. Look, I made a great deal to get out.
So
we didn't have a soldier killed, Bill, in 18 months. Not a soldier killed in 18 months.
Right.
They respected us.
You told the Taliban, look, you don't mess with us, and then we'll try to get a coalition government. But you didn't have the Kabul government in on those talks. It was you and the Taliban.
That's right.
By not having Kabul government in on the talks, did you emasculate them?
There was no government. I was never a believer in Ghani. I thought he was a crook. And I said it 5 years ago, before I was even in politics, I said it. I made the statement a long time ago. He will be out the door as soon as we leave. And eventually,
you have to leave. No confidence in the Kabul government.
I had no confidence in him, and I had no confidence in the government, and I had no confidence in the army who we were paying. We were paying their military people among the highest salaries in the world.
Right.
That's why they did it.
Right.
They didn't do it because they wanted something to do great for their nation. They did it because we were paying them $6 billion.
Yeah, they were mercenaries. Now, if you had been reelected, would the Taliban have taken that country over?
Bill O'Reilly's interview with President Trump continues in just a moment.
Now, if you had been reelected, would the Taliban have taken that country over?
The Taliban would probably, I'll tell you what I would have done. It would have been very interesting. I had a great plan. We would have had some control. You don't want full control. We would have had some control. We would have kept Bagram. For China, much more so than for Afghanistan, because, you know, it's right next to China.
Right.
And very near their nuclear, where they do their nuclear development. That's not a bad place. And right now, from what I hear, China's going to take over Bagram. It cost us $10 billion to build it years ago. They're going to take longest runways in the country, in the world, actually 20,000-foot runways. It cost us a fortune. China is right now.
All right, but how would you have prevented the Taliban from taking over?
Well, listen, we had to get out. It was 21 years.
All right.
It was ridiculous.
To prevent them from taking over.
I think I would have tried to hold the country in good. I don't think Ghani could have done it. I was totally against him from the beginning.
Okay,
and he left with his cash.
It's you and the Taliban.
And somebody has to look into that. I would say that I would have tried to keep this coalition of people together, but I don't think it would have worked. Somebody would have taken over because we had to get out, but they wouldn't have killed our soldiers. They wouldn't have kept our equipment.
It would have been a much smoother exit.
Yeah. I always said that that whole thing will collapse as soon as we leave. We were holding it together.
Yes.
So I think I would love to have given it a little bit of a shot, but once we're gone, I always said, and I said this years ago, it was going to collapse.
Okay.
So whether it's Taliban or not, now, Taliban would have been a much weaker force than it is right now. Right now, they have our equipment. They have, now they're asking for $10 billion worth of money from the United States, and they're going to get it.
I don't know. Biden's on the skids, wouldn't you say so? His poll numbers are way down. Nothing's working. Look, and now inflation's at 5.4%. Your administration spent a lot of money. Because you had to rebuild this and you had to do that and all.
Well,
that.
Just to say, we had to rebuild the military.
Okay, that's
we had
right.
an obsolete.
We
military.
Know what you spent it on. How did you keep inflation under control for 4 years when he's been in for 9 months and it's up 5.4%?
Well,
what's the difference?
Okay, one of the big things I did was become energy independent, and we had very low energy costs. And if you're going to have high energy costs, everything else follows energy.
Okay, so it was him shutting down the Keystone pipeline?
I think it was a big thing, not just Keystone. Keystone's the least of it. That was something he should have never done. I just had everybody, we were drill, you know the expression, drill we must. And we were getting great energy. We had more oil and gas.
He put regulations on oil and on the other fossil fuels.
Yeah, Bill, once that happened, when they were going to the pump and seeing $5, it was $1.87 a gallon. And now it's going to be over $5. Some places it's already over $5. That goes throughout the whole economy. I think energy was a big factor, a very big factor. and I kept it lower. We were making money like hand over fist with energy, bigger than Russia, bigger than Saudi Arabia, energy independent. We were number one in the world. Once that stopped, and now we're going back and we're negotiating with OPEC, it's now $80 a barrel.
Right.
When I was there, and this is less than a year ago, it was $40 a barrel.
It's
it was
crazy.
Less than that.
It's crazy. Okay.
That was a big factor.
So the southern border has collapsed. All right. You had the Remain in Mexico policy. The Mexican government had their army on the border,
right,
preventing all of the migrants from massing and coming over. That army's gone now. They're
gone. Because of the way I dealt with Mexico, they gave us 28,000 soldiers free, no charge.
Right.
And they patrolled the border for us, and they did a great job.
So you got Afghanistan, a catastrophe, you got high inflation, you got a collapsed border. Biden doing it on purpose?
You would almost say, when you look at the border or when you look at the pullout of Afghanistan, you would almost say nobody can be that stupid. Nobody can be doing this thinking it's good. Nobody could pull out the soldiers in Afghanistan before they pull out the American citizens or before they pull out their $85 billion worth of equipment. I said, he must be doing it on purpose. They must hate the country. They must hate our country.
Do you think that he's subverting his own country?
I don't know what's going on. Look, Bill. You could ask a five-year-old child, and I actually did it. A young man was there. We talked about it with a group of people. I said, so what would you do? I'd keep the army there. I would keep the military there. Look, when you see something like Afghanistan, the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened, in my opinion, to our country, I think it's number one. And I think the border is, I don't think anything's close, but I think the border is
it's a catastrophe.
Is very embarrassing to
right.
us.
It's a catastrophe.
Catastrophe. And it's killing our country.
He's either doing it on purpose or there's somebody telling him to do it, all right? People in his ear, and these decisions the president is making are hurting the country. It's either or.
No, or they're incompetent.
But he's surrounded by you, just as you were. You know the game. You're in the Oval Office. You got experts all over the place. Are they all that?
It could be that way. Look, it could be a number of things. It could be they hate the country. Now, I don't happen to believe that, okay? They can't. I mean, they just can't. But how do you make decisions like the border? We have coming into our country, they're emptying out their prisons in many other countries. You know, I used to talk about the 3+ Mexico. Now I'm hearing it's 47 different countries. They're coming from the Middle East.
Haiti.
They're coming in from Haiti.
Do you think
hundreds of thousands from Haiti?
Do you think President Obama has President Biden's ear? Do you think President Obama is involved at all in this?
I think he's probably involved, but actually I heard a statement which I respected. President Obama said, it's not sustainable to do what we're doing with the open border.
That's what he said.
He made that statement a few days ago. And I said, that's nice that he did that he said that. It's obvious that it's true. But this group is far left of Obama. Or, again, it's incompetent. I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. When you look at what's going on in Texas and Arizona, when you look at tens of thousands of people pouring into our country, and then they say you have to wear a mask, you have to get vaccinated, you have to do all these different things. And yet these people are flowing in by the hundreds of thousands a week.
Yeah, with no regulation at all. If you were president, would you say to federal employees, particularly in education and the military, you have to get vaxxed?
Bill O'Reilly's interview with President Trump continues in just a moment.
If you were president, would you say to federal employees, particularly in education and the military, you have to get vaxxed? Would you have that mandate?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say to anybody you have to, but I would sell it. Look, I'm very proud of what we did with the vaccines. It was supposed to take 5 years and they said it wasn't going to work. I did 3 vaccines in less than 9 months and they do work. They work really well. I would convince people, take it. I don't want to push it. Look, it's killing our country right now because so many people are being laid off. They can't get workers. That's a big factor, by the way, in why the ships are docked out there. We can't get anything into the country.
Because you wouldn't mandate federal employees.
Well, you have massive numbers of great employees, great people, great employees leaving their jobs because of the whole vaccination.
Would you have them tested? They have to get
sure they can be tested. They can be tested. But here's the thing. When I was president, There was no talk about mandates or anything. Everybody wanted the vaccine. Now a lot of people don't want it.
A lot of anti-vaxxers.
Well, they maybe don't trust Biden. Something's
maybe, but
going
it's your
on.
Vaccine, it's, and you've told them to
is,
get vaxxed.
It is, and I have said it.
And so does the Pope. You and the Pope both said get vaxxed.
Okay, I have said it. Other people have said it. But remember this, when they call a pause to Johnson & Johnson, that was a huge story. People said, would you say it? I said, wait a minute, they just caused a pause. Over six people, I guess most of whom were okay in the end, they paused this. This was a huge headline. They don't know about Johnson & Johnson. They just know the vaccine got paused.
The psychology
they have done
was,
so many things.
But I just want to be clear. You would not mandate federal employees have to get vaccinated.
No, but I would. I think I'd get most people to take
all
it.
Right,
I think
dissuade them. You wouldn't
I mandate. Think that they would trust me. Okay. They're not trusting this administration.
Did China weaponize COVID and then it escaped from Wuhan lab?
I think what happened is China looked, and I was the first one of the early ones to say it came from Wuhan, that came from the lab.
Chinese virus.
And everyone went crazy. You know, I never forget, I said that. I didn't think it was such a big statement. People went crazy, the left. They went totally crazy when I said it. So the big question is, did China do this on purpose or not? I think probably they didn't, okay?
They did not.
I think they did not do it on purpose. It certainly fit their agenda pretty well in many ways because it knocked us out, it knocked out the world, and it knocked them also, however. But they were able to control it. One of the worst things that happened is they kept it in Wuhan and the rest of the world, but it didn't go to the rest of China for the most part.
Yeah,
it didn't go to the...
But you could fly.
So they put a wall, so to speak.
But you don't think they weaponized COVID?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Why didn't you fire
certainly
Fauci?
Hope not.
Why didn't you fire Fauci? Everybody hates Fauci.
Well,
now.
It didn't matter because I did pretty much the opposite of what he would suggest.
But you still had him.
No, he's been there a long time. I actually got along with him very well. Call me Tony. He goes, call me Tony, sir.
call me Tony.
He was a much better promoter than he was a doctor.
But you didn't fire him.
No, I didn't fire him. He said, let them come in from China months after I closed it. I said, no, I'm not going to.
In hindsight, you should have sacked him. Come on.
He had much less influence in my administration.
Optics.
Well, look, I mean, Tony, wait 1 second. Tony Fauci said, masks are no good. Don't wear masks. Now he's a radical master.
Why didn't you fire him? Why?
And he's been there a long time.
Why didn't you fire General Milley? Come on, Milley.
So Milley was a different guy when I was there.
Different guy.
He played to whoever was sitting in the Oval Office.
So he's a phony.
Well, he made some statements that were really dumb. For instance, on the military, when I said we're moving out of Afghanistan, we'll take our time. I dealt with Abdul. Abdul was not going to do anything to us, the head of the Taliban. And I was very rough with Abdul. But you know what? It was fine. We had a good understanding and we got along just fine. But Milley said, when I said all equipment out, all people out, all Americans out, and other people, but I said, I want every nut, every bolt, I want the tents, I want everything.
And Milley said, fine.
No, Milley said, sir, it's cheaper to leave it there than it is to take it. I believe that's why they left it, because...
Why didn't you fire him when he said it?
No, I just thought he was very stupid, okay?
Well, why did you keep him there?
It's a long story, but I will tell you, you know, they've been there a long time, and I'm not looking to do terrible things to people, but he said a lot of stupid things.
All right.
A lot
now,
of stupid
final
things.
Question. You know the Zuckerberg story unfolding?
I'm hearing it's a big story,
okay.
And I think it's illegal what he did.
Well, this is the real rigged election. This is the real steal.
Well, it's part of it, but it's
no,
part
but
of
this
it.
Is it.
Yeah.
If you see where the $400 million that he donated to the left-wing nonprofits, if you see where that money is, because we've been investigating, it's in all the places that there was suspect. So it wasn't voter machine fraud or dead people. It was,
by the way, it was everything. It was
all right,
including,
but this
it.
Was the big one. You realize, because you're president of the United States, it is against the law to electioneer at a polling place.
Yeah.
You can't. That's a crime.
Okay.
All right. But not if you have mail-in ballots. You can go to somebody's living room and fill it out for them.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Okay, that's part of what happened. Let me tell you, what he did, in my opinion, was illegal.
This is Zuckerberg.
Yeah, it was illegal. with the drop boxes or the lock boxes or maybe the unlock boxes.
It was electioneering.
Did you ever see the percentage of vote that Biden got in those boxes when they came in? And sometimes those 90%.
Boxes... 90%.
Sometimes 97%.
Yeah, because they were targeting it.
Correct. And there are those that say it was totally illegal.
But he's going to get away with it. But now we know what happened. Poor Rudy Giuliani.
Well, you don't know if he's going to get away with it, okay?
Not under the Biden Justice
but
Department.
But it would seem that they don't do anything to anybody but Republicans. Doesn't it seem that way, right?
Well, Wisconsin's not going to do anything because Evers vetoed it already, and Biden and Merrick Garland are not going to do anything. You know
Wisconsin that. Is looking very, very strongly at it right now. Their Senate, which really controls that, Evers more so than Evers. Let's see what happens.
All right.
But with Wisconsin, they found tremendous fraud. But when you look at those boxes and when you look at what Facebook and others did, it's a disgrace.
Did you know every day is a perfect day for peace of mind? With American Home Shield Warranty, you are covered for unexpected breakdowns like leaky faucets or faulty water heaters. Choose a plan that fits your budget and rest easy knowing repairs and replacements are taken care of. Simply contact American Home Shield when an issue arises, and their trusted pros will handle it according to your coverage. Don't let worries about appliances and home systems weigh you down. Celebrate the reassurance of protection. Don't worry, be warranty. For 20% off plans, visit ahs.com/bill. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product is being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. Now, we covered an enormous amount of ground, thanks to me, because I am focused, all right? But I just want to get this. You're thinking about changing your style if you get back into the presidential sweepstakes. You're not going to be as harsh because you have a record to run on. Is that what I've heard?
I will do whatever it takes to make America great again. That's all I'm going to do.
Whatever it takes.
If I have to be harsh, I'll be harsh. Let me tell you, I was harsh with NATO. Got $430 billion from NATO. They were ripping us off.
That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly. But I'll do whatever it takes to make America great again. Our country is in trouble. Our country,
big time,
has never been in a position like it is right now. We're not respected by anybody. I will do what it takes, and it will be all about America first, whatever I have to do.
Now, we have sold more than 30,000 tickets for the Trump-O'Reilly history tour.
Good.
I always put your name first, Mr.
President. You better.
Okay. More than 30,000. We still have about 15,000 left, all right? I think based on this interview that anybody would want to see Trump O'Reilly on the stage. Do you concur?
I think so. I think it's going to be very successful. Already is successful. Look, with virtually no advertising, in fact, until a couple of weeks ago, no advertising.
Right.
You sold 60% of the seats, as I understand it.
It's because
of
you.
Four locations.
It's not me. It's you.
Well, it's a combination. Look, it's
right.
A combination.
We had nice ties, both of us.
We've always had a great thing, not necessarily friendly, but we've always had some great little debates going over the years.
And like today.
We always had a lot of fun. But I think we're going to have fun. We're going to learn together. We're going to have a great audience. And it really is selling amazingly well. You know, considering we spent no money on promotion.
That's right. No marketing.
Money on anything.
Right.
And we have big arenas and they're almost sold out. They're getting close to being sold
right.
out. So congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. President, for putting up with me. I think that was one of the best interviews you've done. I see you on cable TV. Nothing comes close to this. You know it. You know it.
You do a good job, Bill. I've always said it. Thank you.
Hey, guys, it's Vivek Ramaswamy here, inviting you to listen to my podcast, Truth. We just relaunched it after the campaign, and we are already riding up the podcast charts. Here's why. I think that hard, in-depth conversations about the tough issues is the only way we're going to get this country back. Because make no mistake, we are currently in a war for the future of America, and you cannot win a war unless you're willing to speak the truth. If you want standard conservative talking points, this podcast is not for you. But if you want to go deeper and hear the conversations you're not going to find anywhere else, the conversations that will challenge you, that will challenge me, then subscribe to Truth with Vivek Ramaswamy on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I promise you, you're going to cover terrain that you're not going to hear elsewhere.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds, and stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arcseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
So I want to give you a little look back on some of the things that we did this year. And then we're going to have a special with Holly, the Christmas dog. So hang tough. Roll the tape. So you're going to have, if Biden wins, you're going to have illegal immigration. Boom. You're going to have tax rise. Boom. You're going to have a lot of social programs. So Trump did a lot of executive orders. They're all going to go. And there'll be a lot more regulations on oil, all of that. And then you're going to start to see the unintended consequences of all of that. When Donald Trump took over as president, there were caravans, thousands of people coming here. And for the first 3 years, they just came and came and came. What drove that?
So the problem of illegal family migration and illegal minor migration really began in earnest in 2013 and 2014. And this was the problem known as catch and release, where people would make asylum claims. Those claims take weeks, months, even years to process. And so they would be released into the interior. And so large caravans took advantage of this in coordination with smugglers to simply turn themselves in huge numbers into the Border Patrol. We spent 3 years fighting the ACLU, fighting radical left-wing judges, and fighting activist injunctions to ultimately put in place a program to end catch and release.
Now, I've been saying that for 2 weeks based on my analysis of the border, the open border, and all the drugs that are coming in. So presto, yesterday, the U.S. Border Patrol announces that more fentanyl has been seized at the border in the first few months of this year than in all of 2020. Many African Americans believe that police in general give blacks a harder time than whites. Do you believe
quite a many African Americans believe that, and I don't know whether that is true. I think there's a lot of people you see on TV that says that, and there's no doubt, you know, you see a lot of sound bites, you see a lot of television where that has happened, but there's a lot of African American that do listen, and they said, well, you know, they look at the statistics. And I think that's one thing that people don't want to look at is the statistics.
What is it about criminals that fascinates the American public?
You know, this has been going back since the beginning of movies, mob movies, just like Westerns. You know, mob movies are kind of like even the modern day Westerns. People are fascinated with this life, which is a horrible life, Bill.
Cancel culture is adored in Hollywood. They love to destroy people. You would say, why? Why do you want to destroy creative people? Because if you disagree with them on any level, they want to hurt you. That's called narcissism. All right? And narcissists are drawn to Hollywood. Everything that a narcissist is, looking at yourself in the mirror, that's narcissist, all right, all day long, all of that. So the cancel culture, this is ground zero for it, Hollywood. And almost every day, and I'm sure you noticed, another person goes off of the cliff. All right. And they love it out there. They just love it. It's amazing. Okay, according to the Wall Street Journal, Americans are cursing more. They've studied the internet, and people use vile language all the time on it. I'm a guy that has tossed around some four-letter words in my life, but you know, I've stopped doing that mostly. I use the word blanking now. So if I want to curse, instead of saying the F word or whatever, I say blanking. Okay, because I think if you use a lot of swear words, it brings you down. And your discourse is not as intelligent. That's just my opinion. So I substitute blank, and maybe that doesn't work, but that's what I do. But anyway, from 2019 to 21, according to the Journal, mentions of bad words on the net rose 41%.
It's another morning, and you're all set for work. You grab your coffee, head out the door, and your car decides today's the day it won't start. Panic sets in. You're not just late, you're stranded. Get ahead of unexpected car repairs before they strike with CarShield, the most trusted vehicle protection company. For almost 20 years, CarShield has saved millions of drivers from repair nightmares with low monthly plans that cover up to 5,000 major parts and systems, like pricey transmission and engine repairs, and check engine light mysteries. Visit CarShield today at carshield.com/Carlson. Plans include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, help with flats, lockouts, and rental car options. Save 20% and get a free quote by visiting CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Don't wait for the next surprise. Choose peace of mind with CarShield. Go to carshield.com/Carlson and save 20% today.
Who is there for the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who is helping our nation's homeless veterans? And who is helping our nation keep its vow to never forget 9/11? I'll tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's In the Line of Duty programs honor our nation's heroes and their families. That includes its Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings and barbecues, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is helping to educate kids in kindergarten through 12th grade about our nation's darkest day, 9/11. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. This charity keeps its word and honors our nation's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
Okay, here's a final thought of the day. Variety, which is like the newspaper of showbiz, Hollywood, and they do, you know, fairly good reporting sometimes, left wing, no doubt about it. But, you know, you can read them and you don't have to say, we know this is not true, like Newsweek. I mean, Newsweek is absolute worst. So Variety says that about 10% of the American public are engaged in the news, all right? The other 90% are not. They pick up dribs and drabs, and that's what's so dangerous about the internet, because you have clickbait, you have false headlines, O'Reilly Trump bombs, you know, and then everybody goes in to see, and then they lie about what the stats are. And nobody holds them accountable because you can't. That's so, it's so dangerous. So I set up BillO'Reilly.com as a private news agency that tells the truth. And we do. And we've been in business now almost 5 years. And we have a tremendous success rate. It's tremendous. But what I'm trying to get across is, off this Variety study, that most people don't even know about it. When I did these Trump history shows, you know, there were just surges, thousands and thousands of people. Put those pictures up again. All right, I mean, it surges in the arenas, desperate to hear how Donald Trump ran his administration and what he did. All right, I think that's Dallas there. And that's Houston, the next one will be Houston. You can see, I mean, it's just a massive, tell us the truth, what really happened, which we did. And we may do some more shows if the president wants to, it's all up to him. But it was very worthy, and people were like, for 2 hours going, whoa, we didn't know that. Because it's hard to get the truth. So the point of this is that if you can buy a premium membership or concierge membership, not only for yourself and give it as a gift, you help us spread the truth, all right? You strengthen the country because people, man, as I said at the top of the program, with all this Biden stuff, it's getting very, very intense. You know, well, now we're playing with your wallet, my wallet. And you need to know what's happening here in a way that doesn't have a dishonest agenda. I mean, I asked President Trump some hard questions, and he answered them. Sometimes not as well as I would have liked, but then I go back and ask again. All right? And if you watch the shows, and we have the clips posted on BillO'Reilly.com, you see this is no game. It's no rally. This was serious business.